This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Bruchim Aboim, Parshas Emor. Again, the shul is empty. Just the Kol Torah here. But Bezos Hashem, we hope the Ribbono Shel Olam brings us back into his house very soon and he gathers us in. Tonight's shir is sponsored by Yedid Nafshi, Rav Gedalia Schwartz, in honor of the upcoming bar mitzvah of his son Elia this coming Shabbos. We're mevarach Gedalia and his wife, Tizku Legadloi, Letorah L'chup L'masim Toivim, and we're mevarach the bar mitzvah boy Elia, he should grow up, Letorah L'chup L'masim Toivim, to bring tremendous nachas to his parents, grandparents, and entire family. Also, please have in mind my grandfather, Rav Shimon Yehoshua ben Sarah, my mother's father, who's now in the hospital, he needs great rachamei shamayim. So the learning should be le'iloi nishmasai. Okay. Parshas Emor. We have the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'omer. The Torah tells us, Usfartem lochem imachas ha'shabbos. You will count from the day after Shabbos, miyom haviyachem esomer atznufa, from the day that you bring the omer of waving. Bear in mind, this carbon omer was waved. Sheva shabbosos tmimos tiyena, 7 weeks that are whole weeks. And you count these 7 weeks ad mimachras haShabbos haShviyos until the day after the seventh Shabbos. Tisbru chamishim yom. You should count 50 days. And we know there is a well-known, established machloikis between the tzedoikim and the prushim as to how to interpret this pasuk. The tzedoikim interpret the pasuk literally, that you start counting Sfiras Ha'omer from the day after Shabbos, namely Sunday. That's with the literal translation of the words. But our mesora is that Shabbos in this pasuk does not refer to the seventh day of the week. Instead, Shabbos refers to Pesach, and the Sfiras Ha'omer begins to be counted on the second day of Pesach. This was a well-known machlokes between the Tzedukim and the Perushim, and the Mishnah Menachos says that this was a major debate, to the extent that when they would reap the Omer, they would do so with such pomp and ceremony in order to demonstrate that the Tzedukim are wrong, that we don't do the Tziras Ha'omer Sunday, we do it the day after Pesach. And the Mishnah goes on to say that the agents of Bezin would go out from Erev Yom Tov and they would make bundles in the grain while it was still attached to the ground. This way it would be easier to cut, and all the surrounding cities would gather there so that it should be harvested with Esek Gadol. Once it became dark, so the Shamish would say, "No, did the sun set?" And they would say, "Yes." "Did the sun set?" They would say, "Yes." "This sickle, yeah." "This sickle," they would respond, "yeah." "This box, This box, yup." And if it was on Shabbos, they would say, "On this Shabbos?" And they'd say, "Yeah, this Shabbos, yeah." And they would do go through this procedure 3 times for every question. They would answer yes 3 times. Why? Because of the Baitusim. The Baitusim would say, "Ein Ketziras Ha'omer b'Matzah Shabbos." There is no Ketziras Ha'omer on Matzah Yom Tov. They would say that Ketziras Ha'omer was Dafka Sunday, so we would prove them wrong. We would demonstrate, we would openly display the incorrectness of that opinion, that in fact, the Ketziras Ha'omer is done on the second day of Pesach. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got into a whole conversation with them, and he mocked them. He said, "Why do you think Shavuos is always Sunday? Because Moshe Rabbeinu loved Jews so much, and since Shavuos is only a one-day holiday, he wanted to juxtapose it to the Sabbath to give the Jews a long weekend." But this is a well-known machlokes, and on the simplest level, it was based on whether we take Pesukim literally or no, do we follow the traditions of Chazal. However, we would like to investigate this evening what was the deeper motivation of the Tzedoikim, and why do we specifically have to go on an all-out assault to counteract it. In other words, there's a concept, may oivai techakameni, we want to become wise from our enemy. So what was the insidious intention of our enemy, and how do we try to overcome it? We come back to the well-known comments of the Ramban. It's a famous Ramban. We've quoted it a number of times. And the Ramban compares Pesach to Sukkot, and just like Sukkot is 7 days followed by Shmini Atzeres on the 8th, Pesach is 7 days followed by Shavuos on the 8th week, 50 days later. Sukkot is followed in pattern by Pesach. The only thing is, Sukkot has days of Chol HaMoed in between, but says the Ramban, likewise Pesach, the days of the Sfiras HaOmer, are all Kedoshim and God is Besoicham, and we count 49 days, and we sanctify the 8th day, which is the 50th day, and then the Ramban says his immortal words, V'hayomim ha-sefurim bein tayim kechuloi shel moyed bein arishon v'hashminim b'chag. The days in between are something like akin to Chol HaMoed. These are the famous words of the Ramban, and this gives us an added insight into why Sfiras HaOmer is mentioned in Parshas Emor. After all, Parshas Emor is the parsha of the Moyadim, not the Karbonos of the Moyadim, but the days of the calendar, which are Yom Tif. Now, one would not have expected Sfiras HaOmer to be in the Jewish calendar, because Sfiras HaOmer are not, one wouldn't have thought these are days of Yom Tif. Nevertheless, because one would have expected Sfiras HaOmer should be in Parshas Pinchas, the parsha that talks about the various Karbonos of the various karbonos of the Yomim Tovim. So you would have expected that it should be, that the days of the Omer, one would have expected, should be in Parshas Pinchas. But no, they're in Parshas Emor, because according to this Ramban, the days of the Omer are actually days of Chol HaMoed. They have Moed quality to them, and therefore they belong in Parshas Emor. But what we learn from this Ramban is that, contrary perhaps to what we would have thought, that Pesach is one Yom Tov by itself and Shavuos is a separate Yom Tov by itself, which, by the way, they are independent Yomim Tovim, but in a sense, we see from here that they belong to one entity, they're one corpus. As pointed out, I had the Yizchus a few months ago, before the world went haywire, I spoke in London, and I have this chus to speak in a koilel in Manchester, and I met a chashev rosh koilel, Rav Yehuda Leib Whitler, and he gave me his sefer, and it was sitting on my desk, and I happened to open it up recently. And he says, from this Ramban we see, the name of the sefer again is Magil Hashana, that we see from here one big binyan, Pesach, Svira, and Shavuos is one big corpus. And the fact that Sfiras HaOmer is in Parshas Emor, we see that the days of Svira are part of this Yom Tif, and they, so to speak, link Pesach to Shavuos, as Ramban so beautifully dubs, that these are days of Chol HaMoed. So we would like to explain what exactly is this binyan of Pesach, Sfira, and Shavuos. Why are the days in between Chol HaMoed? And again, going back to what is this machlokes between the Tzedokim and the Prushim. Well, Rabbi Whitler has an amazing observation and a beautiful diuk. We all know that Hallel begins in Parak Kuf Lamed Ches, Halleluka, Hallelu Hashem Hashem. And Rabbi Whitler points out the very first praise said in Hallel. Now Hallel was first said when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. The very first praise is Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Stop. If you were a Jew leaving Egypt, and now you have an opportunity to sing praise upon your freedom, what would be the first thing you would cry out and praise? We may have thought, you know, you're enslaved for 210 years, you're being brutalized, you're being antagonized. We would have thought the first thing that the Jews say, freedom, chirus. No. The first thing they said was, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. We praise you, we servants of Hashem. Now you have to know, these words, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, are a fundamental part of Hallel. Because the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? One of the reasons the Gemara gives is because we can't say Hallel. Because in Hallel you say Hallelu Avdei Hashem. And in the times of Purim, we were not Avdei Hashem. Akate Avdei Achashverosh Hanan. So that means we are categorically exempt from Hallel on Purim because we cannot call ourselves Avdei Hashem. So the question is, what are the Jewish people saying? Here they're free. They were enslaved. They couldn't go out at night. They couldn't go out at will. They couldn't travel where they wanted. Now they're free. So you would have thought, They would extol the virtues of freedom. No, the first thing they say is, praise Hashem, the servants of Hashem. Meaning they are not putting value in freedom other than all it is it's an opportunity for a new servitude. And instead of being servants to Parai, we are now servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about it. They did not celebrate the inherent value of freedom. All they celebrated was a new type of servitude. So let's continue on our journey bearing this in mind. There are a few interesting questions we could ask about Sfira Sa'omer. These questions are raised by none other than the Sefer HaKsav VaHaKabbalah of Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, one of the great commentaries on Chumash, and similar to the Malbim, he shows how intertwined the Torah Shebichsav is with the Torah Shebaal Peh. He lived in the 19th century, and he asks two very powerful questions on Sfira Sa'omer. In our sheets, it's number 7. They are elaborated upon by Rabbi Rucham Olshin, the Lakewood Rosh Hashiva, in the beautiful Sefer written by my friend Rav Moshe Gruen, Yareach L'Moyadim. Question number 1. We know that the mitzvah of Sfira is we're counting. What are we counting? We're counting the days. Hayom Yom, whatever the day is, we're on our way. You know that song. You know, the less people who are in the room, the more I tend to sing, you know? So, we're counting days. And what do we call the mitzvah? The mitzvah is called Sfiras Ha'omer. Why is it called Sfiras Ha'omer? It should be called Sfiras Hayomim. We even see the way that Chazal termed the bracha, the liturgy of the bracha is, Bracha Asher Gishom Zazan Al Sfiras Ha'omer. We mean not Sfiras, we're not counting the Omer. We're not counting the Omer at all. The Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach. We're not counting it, we're counting the days that transpire. The bracha should be Asfiras Yomim Meha Omer, counting the days from the Karban Omer, or Asfiras Yemeha Omer. Furthermore, as the Ksav HaKabbalah, this is elucidated by Rabbi Rucham Olshin, what's the name of the Karban? The name of the Karban is the Minchas HaOmer. What? Minchas HaOmer? That doesn't make any sense. Why would it be called the Minchas HaOmer? You know what the word Omer means? Omer is a measurement. An Omer is Asiris HaEfa. Rashi says on the Pasuk, V'haveisem es Omer, Omer Rashi says is Asiris HaEfa. And the Mizrahi explains, a measurement that contains an Asiras HaEfa is called an Omer. So why is the carbon called a Minchas HaOmer? We don't name any carbon based on the measurement of ingredients. Why is it called V'haveisem es Omer? It should be called V'haveisem es HaMincha. It's a carbon Mincha. So there's a Shlamim, there's a Chatas, there's an Asham, there's a Mincha. But why is this an Omer? An Omer is just the measurement. Or why is it called V'hinef es HaOmer? Or va'asisem yom hanifchem es ha'omer. Just because the measurement is omer, the whole carbon should be called minchas ha'omer. It should be called minchas bikurim. After all, that's the lashon of the pasuk. V'im takriv minchas bikurim aviv. So these are the questions of the Sefer HaKsav HaKabbalah. So the HaKsav HaKabbalah takes us through a wondrous journey in redefining and revolutionizing the mitzvah of Sfiras ha'omer. And he says as follows. This Omer is waved. We wave it up and down and back and forth. Why? Says HaKsav HaKabbalah, many authors write, there's nothing that inflames the heart and elevates the heart. Meaning, there's nothing that puffs up the heart and makes a person sin like being wealthy. There is nothing in this world that brings a person away from Hashem like material possession. Like the Pasuk says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. Yeshurun became fat and they rebelled. And they said, Koichi va'itzam yadi asali. When a person has money, when a person has possessions, they think they earned it with their acumen and hard work. And that takes a person away from Hashem. So that everyone recognize, whatever money you have, whatever fruits you have, it has nothing to do with my acumen and my wisdom and my planning. So what do? You take it, the first fruits, you bring it to the carbon, and you wave it up and down and back and forth. And what you're saying is, God, everything I have from this direction, from that direction, it's all because of you. I got nothing to do with this. Ah, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, This could help us answer the two questions that were mentioned. We could understand, you know, why the name of the carbon is the Karban HaOimer, the Minchas HaOimer, and not the Minchas Bikurim. The Oimer is only a measurement. We usually name a carbon Mincha after the type of vessel, like Ma'afei Tanur, or Marcheshes, or the like. But why would we call it based on a measurement? Why isn't it called Minchas Bikurim? Says the Ksava HaKabbalah, listen up. If the whole purpose of waving the Oimer is not to attribute any success to one's own ability and acumen, but rather to attribute everything we have in this world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means the bringing of the Oimer is a preparation to how to appreciate possession in this world, in order to be mishabed us to the mitzvahs. The purpose of the Karban Oimer is hashtabdus lemitzvaysav, to enslave us to the mitzvahs. Not chas v'sham that a person should be carried away, that whatever they have is because of their ability. The purpose of bringing the Oimer, it's a Karban of avdus. What does that got to do with Oimer? Says the Ksava Kabbalah, do you know what the word Oimer means? Oimer is not just a measurement. There's a pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze, key number 9 on the sheet, ki matse ish, if you will find a man, goynev nefesh meyachav, who stole a soul from his brother, someone kidnapped someone, mimnei Yisrael, v'his amer boy, if you will use him in servitude. So we see the word v'his amer boy, oimer, means avdus, hishtamshus, usage. So you know what the purpose in the carbon oimer is? To allow a person to enter the avdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should be mishubid to the avdus of Hashem, the servitude of Hashem. That we are thanking Hashem with the carbon oimer, that all of our material success is only a means to subjugate us. Then when the alarm goes off in the morning, we get up, we don't look at our phone, we immediately, the first thing we think about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we immediately wash Negel Masa, we prepare for tefillah, and we don't take care of any personal need until after davening. Well, what do you mean? Well, I'm a person. No, we're Meshubet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the purpose of the Karban Oimer. And the Ksav HaKabbalah takes it to the next step. Why is it called Vitzivanu al Sfiras Oimer? We're not counting the Oimer. The Oimer was a carbon. We're counting the days. Why do we say Hayoim Yoim? Whatever in the Oimer. What's the intention of counting the Oimer? What? Oh, today, yesterday was the 27th day from the day that when the temple stood, they brought a carbon. I'm counting 2,000 years later from a day that if the temple was standing, and it was 2,000 years ago, they brought a carbon. That's what I'm counting from. I'm counting from something that we don't do that we used to do. No, that has nothing to do. That is not the kavana of Sfiras Oimer. The word Oimer means avdus, hishtabdus, v'hisamer boy. We're counting the Oimer. It's an exercise. And today is another day that I emphasized and I focused and I contemplated that my station in this world, this short time that the Ribbono Shel Olam has allotted to us, I am counting that this is yet another day to be meshabed myself, le'oimer v'hisamer boy, another day of preparing myself to be meshubed to the avoida and the mitzvahs of the Torah. And that's why God took us out of Egypt. I'm taking you out to serve me. There is no value in just freedom. Freedom! No. You left being Avdei Paroi to become Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the days of the Oimer are days of Hishtabdus. Days that we're counting preparation of being an Eved Hashem. And we're not counting the days. You see, there are different kinds of counting. We're not counting the days to know how many days elapsed. But like the Pasuk in Eiv, Ki Atat Sa'adi Tisvar, God, count my footsteps. We're not asking God to count our footsteps. We're saying, give me special hashgacha pratis. Look at me intently. Hashem, pay close attention to every step in my life. Likewise, the days of Sfira, we're counting them to focus and to emphasize and to hone in that yet this is yet another day. The Ksava HaKabbalah says it's twofold, it has duality. I'm thanking Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, that I have yet another day to be meshabed myself, to enslave myself, to subjugate myself to the will and the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only is it a form of gratitude, it's also a commitment to the future, that this is yet another day that I look forward to the future, to commit my life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Oimer is not just the measurement of the amount of flour in the carbon. The word Oimer refers to Avdus, V'his'amer boy, says the Haksava HaKabbalah, and then he says the real whopper. And after 49 days of subjugating our will, and tying our ratzon, where the behemoth says in us, you know, spend the day pursuing good food, good times, good conversation, good relaxation. We need to bind up our ratzon and our taiva. We have to sort of put it into captivity, shavoy, le'esar oisai, to be ma'atzer oisai, to confine it, and to put it into captivity. And after 49 days of hishtabdus, guess what day we have? Shavuos. Says Aksava HaKabbalah, Shavuos is a lashon of shavoy, captivity. Enslaving ourselves. So you say, this sounds miserable, I'm going back to Egypt. What's the difference between being an Evet HaKadosh Baruch Hu and an Evet Teparoi? The difference is, and it explains the Sefer Magal Tov, when you're an Evet Teparoi, Paroi wants to enslave your body to trap your soul. Hashem says, you enslave your body to the Torah to liberate your neshama. Because when your body is subjugated to the Torah, it is freed from the shackles of earthly desire and your soul is free. Shavuos is a lashon of shavoy, captivity. We are tying up, we're literally harnessing all of our desire and all of our wants and all of our passions, and we're binding it up. That's what atzaras means. Because after 49 days of oimer, hishtavdus, we're ready for the ultimate shavoy. And the Ksava HaKabbalah reiterates this in Parshas Re'eh, Parak Tazayin, Pasuk Tes. He says that the Shiva Shavuos also come from this lashon of Shavuos, 7 weeks of captivity, tying up our Nefesh HaBahamas. It's like, you know, we're a brocking bronco. We have an animal within us and we need to tie it up so that the neshama could be expressed freely. So what we're learning is that it's not Pesach where we're liberated from Egypt and then counting Sfira, which is a separate tekufa, and then another tekufa of Kabbalah Satoira. No. Pesach, we were freed from being avodim to paroi, but we need to make sure that we don't sing hallelujah and say we're free. The first thing we say in hallel is hallelujah avdei Hashem. We are free from paroi to be avodim to Hashem, and we work on that for 49 days of oimer, the lashon of hishtabdus v'hisamer boy, until ultimately we reach the pinnacle of completely putting our nefesh habahamas into captivity on Shavuos. So this time of the year, it's one big binyan. It's Pesach, which is continued. You see, Pesach, if it's not attached to Sfira, it's just freedom. Freedom in and of itself is worthless. So we have to make sure to close the gap. We don't allow Pesach and then appreciate the freedom. We go straight into Hallelu Avdei Hashem. 49 days of Sfira Sa'imer followed by Shavuos. And let's explain this even further. We know typically we talk about the 4 cups of wine on Pesach, and they represent the 4 lashonis of Geula, V'hoitzesi, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti. This is expressed in the Yishalmi Narvei Psachim. This is expressed in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Peches, Ois Hei. The 4 lashonis of Geula, V'hoitzesi, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti. The Rashi in Rashi always says the 4 lashonis of Geula, V'hoitzesi, the Rashbam says that, and many Rishonim say that, comes the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon says it's a mistake. All of these sources, it's a Ta'a Sefer. They got it wrong. The printers messed up. The Rashi was not correct. The Rashbam is not correct. The Yushalmi, the Medrash Rabbah in 2 places, says the Gra, the 4 Lashonis of Geula, V'hoitzesi, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti, V'zraya netuya, V'shvatim gedoylem. Aye, what about V'lakachti? Says the Gra, no, don't count V'lakachti. Because if you count V'lakachti, you're going to have to count V'hevesi, and you're going to have 5 cups. So just like we don't count V'hevesi, we don't count V'lakachti. And the 4 Lashonis of Geula are V'hoitzesi, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti. Aye, Rashi. Rashi says V'lakachti. The Rashbam says V'lakachti. The Medrash Rabbah in 2 places V'lakachti. Says the Gra, Tal Sofer B'chol Makayim. And therefore, says the Gra, because the third and fourth kais are all part of Vigaalti, therefore, don't be mafsik between the third and fourth kais. However, in the Hagois Evan Shlema on the Ra'avan, he says, how could we say such a thing? That you want to say there one Rashi is a Tal Sofer, one Rashbam, but the Rashi and the Rashbam and the Yushalmi and the Medrash, everyone got it wrong. So really, they say the Evan Shlema says the Dal L'Shoina Shogu'ula is like we always thought. V'hoitzesi v'hitzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti. Aye, if you count v'lakachti, don't you have to count v'hevesi? So the Ravan says no. You only have to count the geulais that happened when we left Egypt. V'hevesi, we didn't go into Eretz Yisrael yet, so we don't have to count it. But we could ask, is this a sufficient answer? Because the truth is, when did v'lakachti happen? If you look in almost all the Rishonim, look in Ibn Ezra, number 15, the Svarno, number 16, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says this, V'lakachti is Matan Torah. The Ibn Ezra says, V'lakachti kasher tekablu es ha-Torah al-Har Sinai. The Svarno says, V'lakachti b'mayim en-Har Sinai. So that didn't happen yet either. So why would we count V'lakachti and not count V'hevesi? And Rabbi Rucham Olshin, in his Sefer on Pesach, points out that there's a very important difference between Kabbalah Satorah and Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a great gift. It's a matana toiva. We all are eagerly anticipating when Hashem gives us the schus to be there. But that wasn't the tachlis of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim has value even without Knisal Eretz Yisrael. But, says the Sefer HaChinuch, the entire purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was Kabbalah Satorah. Like the Sefer Chinuch writes on the Mitzvah of Svira, Mitzvah Samachay, Mitzvah Shinvav. The whole Iker of Klal Yisrael is for the Torah, and the world was created for the Torah. And that was the main reason we left Mitzrayim. And when Hashem said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, the sign, and you're going to serve me on the mountain of Har Sinai, that indicates that the Iker is serving Hashem on Har Sinai, and the sign, V'zeh L'cha Ha'is, Mitzrayim was the ois on Kabbalah Satorah, meaning Kabbalah Satorah is the ikar, and Yitzias Mitzrayim was the sign for that. Therefore, we are not redeemed from Egypt until we got the Torah. If God would have just taken us out of Egypt and we wouldn't have gotten the Torah, we would have been an exile. It would not have inherent value. It would be a meaningless freedom. We were only redeemed from Egypt, V'hoitzesi, V'yitzalti, V'ga'alti, and V'lakachti on Sinai. Without V'hevesi, we're still redeemed. Without V'lakachti, we're still meshubit to Paroi. Because there's no purpose in life just being free. You know, the Shlach HaKadosh writes, an amazing Shlach. We spoke about this many times. The Shlach writes, you know, what was the purpose of going down to Mitzrayim in the first place? It caused so much harm to our people. We were downgraded to the 49th level of Tumah. We were depleted. We had a slave mentality. Was it really Kedai to go down to Mitzrayim? Says the Shlomo, was worth it. Because Mitzrayim was a lesson and an education in being an Eved. And in order for somebody to be a viable Jew in this world, it's not enough just to serve God when it makes you feel good. You have to have a feeling, I'm indentured to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I do mitzvahs because I have to, and we're going to explain that. And Hashem sent us down to Mitzrayim to teach us how to be avadim, and then we would channel and harness the midah of avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shlach HaKadosh says, this explains that when God told Abraham he's going to have descendants, so Avraham Avinu thought it's going to be Eliezer, Kiyam Asher, and Avram said, "Uben Meshek Beis Yehuda Meshek Eliezer," and Hashem said, "No, lo yirosh chazeh. No, he's not going to inherit you. Ki im asher yetsi mimeyecha hu yirashecha. It will be a biological descendant." Why would Avraham think Eliezer would be his heir? I mean, why would Avraham Avinu think such a thing? Eliezer is not related to him. He's an Eved Kanani. He's Ur. The answer is, says the Shlub, because to be the continuity of Klal Yisrael, you have to have a midah, the most important midah of all. That's the midah of Avdus. And Eliezer, of all things, he was Eved Avraham. He was a loyal servant, so he had the midah of Avdus. He could have been his heir. And Hashem said, no, not that Eved. The Eved Asher Yetzei Mimeyecha. Says the Shlub, you ever wonder why in Tanakh, even after we've moved into Eretz Yisrael and we kicked out the Canaanim, it's called Eretz Canaan? Why do we still call it Canaan? The answer is, says the Shlah, to give us an understanding what Eretz Yisrael is. It's a land of kenia, humility, avdus. And when the Jewish people don't have the midah of being avdei Hashem, they don't deserve to be there. The Aruch HaShulchan in his Haggadah, Aruch HaShulchan says a wondrous thing. He says, when we ask the question, Manishtana halayla azeh, why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat marah? Why do we dip? Why do we lean? You know, he says, we don't even answer these questions. We don't talk about dipping. We don't talk about leaning. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, ma does not mean why. Because then we would ask, lama nishtana. Ma is a declaratory statement. Like, ma godlu masecha Hashem. Ma toivu oy halecha Yaakov. Ma is a declaration. Ma nishtana halayla zeh. How great is this night? And you know what we tell our children? You know why this night is different? You know why this night is shanoi? We tell our children, the first thing you need to know is that we have to listen to Hashem because we just have to. Because the halacha is that you can't buy an eved against his will. So the kids come to the father and say, Tata, I don't understand. God told us to do the seder. So what? Why don't we say no? Why didn't he give us a choice? The answer is avadim hayinu lapari. The truth is, you can't take an eved against his will. But you could buy an eved from an adain. Once an eved is owned by an adain, the first adain could sell him to the second adain, and the second adain could do whatever he wants with him. And it's not at the discretion of the eved. When you buy an eved from an adain, when you buy a slave from a master, the second master could do whatever he wants. We don't need to get the consent of the eved. The halacha is the eved of a kohen, if he sold to a Yisrael, the eved of the kohen could sell him to Yisrael, make him lose truma. Why can the eved say, I don't want to be sold? Because you're property. Hashem sent us down to Egypt, says Aruch HaShulchan, so that we're avdei paro, and then when Hashem liberates us and takes us, we are his avadim no matter what. We have to listen to him just because he avadim hayinu leparoi. We were slaves for paroi. We would still be slaves to paroi. So when God took us out, it's like taking an eved from an adon, and we have to listen no matter what. This is the meaning of the pasuk in next week's parasha. Number 21 on the sheet, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. The children of Israel are my avodim. Avodayhem, they're my avodim. Okay, you just said that, Ribbono Shel Olam. Why do we have to say Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim avodayhem? It's not repetitive, says Aruch HaShulchan. Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, b'nei Yisrael my avodim. Why are they my avodim? Avodayhem, because I took them out of Mitzrayim. And once I took them out of the house of bondage, now they're mine. Nothing you could do. The Bnei Yisachar says a wondrous thing. Says the Bnei Yisachar, you know, there are mitzvahs in the Torah that there's punishment for. Somebody eats chaylev, they're chayev kares. Someone lives with a nida, they're chayev kares. Somebody desecrates Shabbos, they're chayev skila. But if someone doesn't put on tefillin, there's no punishment in this world. By the Bezdin person, there's no einshim specifically for lack of fulfillment of a mitzvah saseh, only for violating actively a negative commandment. There are only two exceptions to the rule. I want to thank HaBachar HaChoshev, Yehuda Gladstein, who took off time to be able to film tonight's shir, Yehudala. There are only two mitzvah saseh that somebody doesn't fulfill them as chayav kares. You know what they are? Somebody doesn't bring a carbon Pesach, and someone who doesn't do bris milah. Why? Why these two mitzvahs saseh so severe that if you don't fulfill them, there's a chi of kares? Says the Bnei Yisachar, Ayim v'noira. The Gemara Nivamis Paskins, and it's Paskins in Shulchan Aruch and Yardea. It's the Gemara Nivamis Mem Heyam Erbeis Yardea Reis Samach Zayin. That if you buy an eved from a guy, you don't own the Eved until you toivel the Eved in a mikvah l'shem avdus. You have to dunk the Eved in a mikvah for the purpose of slavery. Well, what if the Eved is an Ibr Chacham and he says, I'm going to go into the mikvah. You think you're going to dunk me to be an Eved? I'm going to dunk to go free. He goes free. If the Eved immerses in the mikvah to go free, the Eved goes free. So what does the Adon have to do? The Gemara says the Adon has to exert sovereignty and dominion over the Eved in the mikvah. He puts a slab on the Eved's head in the mikvah to show that when you're going into the mikvah and you're transitioning from one Avdus, you're not going from Avdus to Chirus, you're going from one Avdus to another Avdus. Says the holy Bnei Yisachar, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were leaving the Avdus of Paroi, but we were supposed to be transitioning into becoming the Avodim of Hashem. After all, the Shlosh says the whole purpose of being in Mitzrayim is to learn how to be an Eved so that we could channel it to become Avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what if Klal Yisrael says, Lord, thanks for taking me out. Take me out and I'm off to the races. I'm out of here. I don't want to be your Eved. So the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim was a transition period. So that night it was critical for the Ribbono Shel Olam to demonstrate His dominion and His sovereignty over us. So He gave us two mitzvahs. B'damayechayi, Dam Milah and Dam Pesach. Those are the two mitzvahs that enslave us and are meshavet us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, if a Jew doesn't want to keep those mitzvahs, it's as if he's saying, God, I don't want to keep Torah and mitzvahs. Pesach and Milah are the linchpins of Kol HaTorah Kula. They are the foundations of the whole Torah, because without that, then when God took us out of Egypt, we would have gone scot-free. Therefore, when Hashem, when we stood on Har Sinai, Hashem said, Anoichi, I am God, whether you like it or not, says Aruch HaShulchan. I am your master. What? What do you mean you're my master? Who says I want you to be my master? You know why? Asher Oitzei Sicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of slavery. You're still a slave. You just have to channel it. The Sefer Magil Hashanah brings up a beautiful point. It's a point we've mentioned in the Shiurim over the years. And it seems to be a fundamental point of his sefer, and the point is the parshiyos of a respective week are not random, of course, but rather they are very interconnected to the zman of the year, and they are specifically al pi hashkacha there to facilitate our growth at that particular time. Where we've been discussing the pasuk ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodayhem, the Jewish people are my servants. When did God say these words? We would have expected He said these words when He took us out of Egypt. And in fact, the Gemara Kedushin says on Chav Beis Amid Beis that the reason why in Eved Ivri, when he wants to stay by his master, we drill a hole by the door, is because the doorway was a witness in Egypt. When Hashem jumped over the door, he heard God say, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. The door heard. And this Eved apparently doesn't want to be a servant to God. He wants to be a servant to someone else. So interesting. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chaf Beis, says that when were the words Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim uttered? They were uttered in Egypt. Funny. It's a pasuk in Parshas Bahar, next week's Parsha. They weren't uttered in Egypt. They were uttered in Parshas Bahar. But apparently, even though they were uttered in Egypt, the pasuk is written in Bahar, which is the pasuk during the Yimei HaOmer, the days of slavery, of Hishtabdus, to remind us what these days are all about. These days of Omer are to facilitate a focus. We're counting not the day from when the carbon, which was a measurement of an Omer, was brought. We're counting and we're emphasizing and we're focusing and we're doing an inventory on the days of preparing ourselves to be meshubed to the avodah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a real shibud. It's a real avdos. You know, the pasuk in Parashas Bahar says that if a non-Jewish owner buys a Jewish slave, when Yovel comes, we force the non-Jewish owner to free him. Because we tell him, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Hey, owner, slave owner. This is my slave, God says. Ibn Ezra says, we tell the slave owner, my shtar, my lean on this human being, God says to the Gentile, came before yours. Think about it. We're talking to a Gentile. We're not giving him a religious argument. We're giving him a financial argument. We're telling him, you came too late. This person was already indentured to another master, namely God, before you bought him. Give him back. We are indentured to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He took us out of Paroi's clutches and he transitioned us to be his avodim. Says the Sefer Magil Hashanah, we need to learn from our enemies. Why? He says, Upshat, he heard from the brother-in-law of the Achiezer, Rav Kosavsky, who says, Adavar Nifla Ma'oid. Why do you think that Tzedoikim said, start counting Sfira from Sunday. Don't count the day after Pesach. Because the Tzedoikim wanted to revel in the Chirus of Pesach. They didn't want to transition the Avdus of Mitzrayim into becoming Avdei Hashem, into Yimei Omer. They said there's a nice big gap over there. You know, when you're jumping out of Egypt, Bitoivo L'Shem Chiros. Forget the Mila, forget the Pesach, forget the transitioning through the day of the Omer, which is the Hisamer boy, to ultimately lead to the Shavuya of Shavuos. No, revel in the gap, revel in the Chiros, and therefore with great pomp and ceremony, we say, no, Mimachras HaShabbos is not Sunday, it's the day after Pesach. There's no Ben Azmanim. Pesach immediately transitions into the Yimei HaOmer. Because we never went free. We just acquired an Adon who will allow the Neshama to be liberated. But Keli B'nei Yisrael Avadim, that is why we have to publicize and make it widespread that the HaOmer begins Mimachras HaPesach, not Mimachras HaShabbos. And Yedidi, Rav Meir Bronstein, pointed to my way, Echsam Sofer, that also a good friend of mine, Reb Shaya Levi, pointed my way, both of them today, that there's Echsam Sofer in the end of Parsha Shlach, who Rashi in the end of Shlach compares the four strings of tzitzis to the four lashonis of Geula. And just like you can't have three lashonis of Geula, and you can't have five lashonis of Geula, you can't have three strings or five strings. Says Echsam Sofer, you know, the fourth string represents Velakachti. V'lokachti is Kabbalah HaTorah. Says Echsam Sofer, and this is really the answer we're giving to the Kasha of the Gra. Why would we count V'lokachti and not V'heveisi? Says Echsam Sofer. If you count V'hoitzeisi, V'itzalti, V'go'alti, which are Yitzias Mitzrayim, and you don't count V'lokachti, which is Kabbalah HaTorah, you're a Koifer. This is exactly what we're saying, what Rav Kosavsky is saying, the Tzedakim wanted to do. They wanted a split. Away from the lakachti, to make it that the chirus of Pesach has independent worth. But we say no, there are four strings, there are four lashonis of geula, but we also say they're not five, says Echsam Sofer, because Eretz Yisrael, as great as it is, lest you think you can only serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, we say no, Vehevesi is also not part of the geula. Says the Sefer Magal Hashanah, if you notice, the seven parashiyos that we lay in during the Yimei Hasira, beginning with Tazria, ending in the Chukaisai, are all helping us solidify and concretize the Sinai experience, which is Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. That's why we have Parshas Emar, the Yimei Sfira, V'his Amer Bay. Now when we stood on Har Sinai, says the Magal Hashanah, we accepted upon ourselves the mandate of Va'atem tili mamleches koyhanim v'goy kadosh. What do you think these seven parshas are about? Teaching us to be like koyhanim. Parshas Emor is a parsha of koyhanim. V'goy kadosh, parshas kedoshim. Parshas Bahar, which is the avdus, kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. And then he says, Tazria Mitzayra also, these are parshiyos where we work on the whole Tzura Sa'adam, which is kol amal ha'adam l'pihu. Even Parshas Achrei Mois, the Parsha of the Arayos, it says there, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm the one who said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. And therefore you need to accept my Gezeirois. Again, these Parshas refer that the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, you are obligated to serve me. These Parshas are not randomly during the days of Sfira. They help us integrate and they help us inculcate the ideals of Sfiras HaOmer, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't take us out of Mitzrayim to be a nation of B'nei Chayrin in the sense that we are now free to pursue our wishes. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim because to free us from the shackles of our earthly desires so that the Neshama could be free and be liberated to connect to the Almighty, to the Borei Olam. So this is an amazing approach to the days of Sfira. There, yes, There's a Yom Tov of Pesach that stands by itself. There's a Yom Tov of Shavuos that stands by itself. But there's also a Binyan. The Binyan is Pesach, Svira, Shavuos. Pesach, we were liberated from being Avdei Parai. But the Yimei Svira are Yimei's days of Hisamer Bai, working on becoming an Eved Hashem, working on being a loyal servant, which means that at any moment, whatever arises that is the Ratzon Hashem, we're able to drop whatever our personal desires are, to wholeheartedly follow the desires of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we reach the highest madrega of Shavoi, where we're ma'atzer the Yetzer Hara, we're ma'atzer the Nefesh HaBahamis, and we're able to be fully liberated on the 50th day, where we say, Ribbono Shelam, Tzama Nafshi Le'Elokim Lekel Chai. Our soul thirsts for you, Kel Chai, the Kashan Samagit says, Kel Chai is Gematria 49. The 49 days we yearn, we thirst to be able to experience the divine connection. Masai avoy ve'era p'nei alekim. Thank you so much for listening. I wish everyone Yeshuais, brachais, v'nachamais, ad bias gal tzedek.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.